It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Coming up, you hear me talk about credit score. But now, it's getting to be not quite mainstream, but more mainstream players are using alternative ways to decide whether or not to extend you credit. I'm going to tell you what factors they're looking at that have nothing to do with traditional credit. Clark.com is our main web address. ClarkDeals.com is where you go to find the latest, greatest deals each and every day. So I've talked about and had questions about this thing that's quite the buzz now about coding schools, where you sign up for a program that in just a few months you are supposedly job ready and that you will be employed in a very high paying job just by having taken a 3 month or so coding class. Well, now a lot of the coding schools are closing their doors. They have the money of their students who've been paying and they just vanish. Others are still thriving. Most important recommendation for you is that the best coding schools, the best coding programs are ones that are integrated with employers. And now there are a number of employers that will recruit you and pay for you to attend a program. Now, what they do is typically they will front the money. And if you come to work for them and you stay with them for a period of time, the equivalent of a loan from the employer is forgiven for you attending coding school. But they're not all created equal. Obviously, if a lot of them are closing, it's got to be one that fits what the marketplace wants. And I saw an item in the New York Times. What are the things that employers seem to need the most right now? Programs that incorporate artificial intelligence, project management, and then things that are specific to an individual corporation that has worked with, usually these are called coding boot camps or coding schools, where they've worked directly together. This is important because the best coding schools won't just take anybody with a pulse. They also need to make sure that you have basic aptitude that they test for that you'll take to coding, which, if you're not familiar, is knowledge and training that allows you to work in data, work in the computer field at entry level, but entry level in that field pays typically four times what entry level does in most fields, which is why it has people's attention. But I've talked to people on our web team for Clark.com, and they keep insisting that you should be looking at coding programs that are free. And the one that keeps coming up is Codecademy. How do you say it? I'll spell it. Codecademy. Codecademy, I guess is how you'd say it. That's so funny. So it's got a lot of free programs available, and there are any of a number of others that are free for coding. One that also gets a lot of buzz is Free Code Camp. That's a pretty direct and simple name. But you have to be, and this is why most people don't do the free programs, you have to be very highly self-motivated, because this is not the most scintillating stuff you're doing in school. And if you are not a highly motivated individual, you need to go through one of the coding boot camps. Just make sure it's one that's lined up with employers before you give them a penny of your money. Melanie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Melanie.
Hello. Thank you so much, Clark, for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on, Melanie?
Okay. Well, my son's employer uses one of the really big mega banks as their 401k provider.
No, they're not. They're not using a bank as their 401k provider?
Yes, they
are. Do they hate their workers? They must hate your son.
Well, this is the deal. They will match 100% for the first 3% that he puts in. And my question is, would it be better to go with his work or go with another provider with lower fees?
Okay, so what I would do if I were him is the employer, by doing a match, shows they don't hate your son. They're just clueless
with
who they're using for their 401k plan, because the big banks are tiny players in 401ks, and the reason is their fees on them are gigantic.
Yeah, they have additional fees may be charged.
What does that mean?
That's exactly why I called you, Clark.
So what I would do if I were him, do the 3%, pick up the 3% free money.
Okay.
And in there, even if it is a crummy bank plan, they probably have a low-cost index fund that he can put his money in, something called an S&P 500 index fund or a total stock market index fund. That will have the lowest costs that are in the plan, and just throw his 3% into that with the employer match. And then for anything else he wants to do to save, he should do his own Roth IRA.
Okay.
And is he disciplined that he'll do that 3% and then find the money into that?
Yes. Well, we're paying for college, so he's going to do this. Yes.
Right. So I would do, if he's in college, he's young, he's saving money, there's enormous value to him saving for retirement. He 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there?
Yes, 18.
18. So doing that at 18 has the time advantage of his money doubling again and again and again over the decades.
Okay.
So I would look at the lowest cost provider, which would be opening a Roth IRA with Vanguard.
Okay.
And just go in. I think the latest you can do is year 2065, maybe, which would be just right for your son being 18.
Okay. Right.
So the target retirement fund 2065. He needs 1,000 to open that.
Okay. All right.
And then he can add to it every paycheck, every month, however he wants to do it, and build up some serious retirement money. The advantage of the Roth is that he's in a very low tax rate at 18 and will be for a number of years. And the Roth grows tax-free and is spent tax-free. So that's a great deal. And by the way, if you are an employer and you're hearing me say, no one should ever have a 401k with a bank or an insurance company, and you're like, what? What? Go do some digging. You don't want to have your 401k with either of those kind of providers, because they are eating you up and they're eating your employees up with fee on top of fee on top of fee. Cody's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Cody.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Thank you, Cody.
I just had a quick question. I'm 22 years old, and I'm getting ready to take my first big trip here in about a month. And I'm trying to rent a car, but it seems like everywhere I go, all the websites, they're charging me an outrageous young renter's fee.
And $25 a day, is that what it is these days?
Yeah, it's I've seen it anywhere from 20 to 27. And I was just wondering if you could point me, you know, to the maybe cheapest direction to go about renting a car, because I've never rented a car before. So I was just wondering if you could help me out and lead me down the right road.
Okay, so you're taking this vacation. Are you employed right now, Cody?
Part-time. I'm a student.
The place you're employed Is it a big company or a small one?
Small.
How many people work there?
15.
Anybody travel with the company?
No, not usually.
Okay. You're not helping me here. Let me tell you why I'm asking those questions. Because a lot of companies have a corporate travel thing, and they'll have a corporate ID number with a car rental agency, and there's usually a waiver of the fee for drivers under 25. So since you don't work for a company that has people who are on the road traveling, you're not going to have access to that. So it is a cost of being under 25 that you get hit with the high fees. Now, I'm looking online while we're talking, and there's one company that seems to have, if this information is accurate, and I'd want you to verify it, that does charge a lower fee, and it's Fox Rent-A-Car.
Okay.
Which what I see on the web says 14 a day. Joel's going to look right now and see if that's true. But I will tell you, Fox tends to have not the best consumer track record.
Okay.
So you may find that you're going to be paying a big fee to rent under 25. Oh, Kim's coming. Kim, what'd you find for me? Oh, Kim has an idea.
Okay.
All right. There's a company that has not been a big success, but has been out there for a number of years called Turo, Turo.com. And it's where individuals rent a car they have to other individuals.
Okay.
And they don't have a fee for under 25 years old.
Okay, that's interesting.
But
so you say it's T-U-R-O?
T-U-R-O.com.
Okay.
It just depends if they're renting cars. There are people renting their own car where you're going to be traveling.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the fee that you're seeing, it's all because of accident rates, that people under 25 tend to have a much higher accident rate. And Fox is now 20 a day, no longer 14. So
okay.
That 14 was just fiction coming out of my brain somewhere. So I'm sorry, well, I don't have an easy answer for you, but Turo is a good idea.
That's fine. That's more help than what I could have got by myself.
All right. Well, let's see if that will end up getting you the savings. And cars, by the way, renting a car from another individual is often a lot cheaper than renting right from one of the automobile rental companies anyway.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Here on the Clark Howard Show, one of the most important things I feel I do most every day is the Clarkrageous moment, where I can warn you about a way that people might separate you from your wallet. How about people separating you from your home?
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clarkrageous moment.
So, reverse mortgages, the ads are all over TV geared towards retirees, maybe your parents, grandparents. And the problem is the ads are completely misleading. In fact, there's a new warning from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau of exactly that people are told that these products are just the best, they're oversimplified, and the rest. And so you are left with the idea that somehow this is a government benefit. There are a lot of ads making it appear that reverse mortgages are a government benefit. They are not. In fact, the government indirectly is involved somewhat by insuring some reverse mortgages in the marketplace through the FHA. But the reality is reverse mortgages are a last option. They have massive fees involved with them, and they also can end up making you homeless. There are continuing reports about people who end up in reverse mortgages, don't understand what they bought, and then end up out on the street with the home they may have lived in for years or decades, suddenly gone from them, and they have no place to live. So what I want you to know is this. Anytime you're considering a reverse mortgage, you should go through financial counseling. They are something that is when you're out of all other options. There's nothing else you can come up with. And adult children of an aging parent, you don't want to end up with your aging parent suddenly homeless. You need to be aware, nosy, what's going on, and know that these ads run 24/7 trying to convince seniors that they should turn their home over to one of these lenders with a reverse mortgage where supposedly they're going to get money every month or they're going to get a big pile of cash. But the reality is they are truly mortgaging their future. And that is absolutely Clarkrageous. Remember, the only time to ever do a reverse mortgage, go through counseling first and have no other way to handle monthly bills. Other than that, stay far away. Glad to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. Clark.com/ask is where you go to post a question for me. If you have a question you want to get answered by a member of our team, that's a free service of our show available 45 hours each week. On Clark.com, scroll down and you'll see how to call in and what hours available for free off-the-air advice. I think about over the 30 years I've been on the air, how many questions I've gotten related to issues involving credit scores, credit reports, and credit scores. And since the financial crisis and the banking scandals of last decade, there's been a theme as people have tried to rebuild their credit reputation after so many foreclosures took place, job losses with people not being able to keep up with their bills, collections, and the number percent of Americans that have some kind of collection involved in their lives, by one estimate, is nearly 50%. So you've got so many people who have either no credit, a little amount of credit, or prior damage credit. And it's made it really hard for lenders to know who to extend credit to. Because if you just go by what happened with somebody who lost his or her job and they couldn't make payments, then for 7 years, they're looked at as being credit unworthy. Or someone who's just gotten out of school, high school, college, whatever, trade school, and they're looking, let's say, to buy a vehicle for work, and you have no credit history, you get clobbered going to one of those buy here, pay here lots where you pay massive rates of interest or whatever. Ford is doing something right now where they are looking at ways to extend credit to people principally who have thin files, people who have like no meaningful credit history that can be used to determine if they should have a loan made to them. And there are now people who specialize in looking at people's credit risk profiles using entirely different ways to do so. And so in the industry trade publications, there's a lot written about Ford doing this, but some of the crazy, weird things they're going to do is look at things like, believe it or not, your cell phone number. How long have you kept the same cell phone number? It's just one factor that they'll look at because for some reason, according to deep data dives, people who keep the same number for years are more stable with their bills as well. Who knew? And there are other odd factors that are going to be used to try to figure out who's at the greatest risk, like how you do paying just regular bills, or if you're a renter, how you do paying rent. And Ford is the biggest company I'm aware of that is starting to consider this, but credit scores still remain important and the principal way credit will be granted. But alternative ways of developing a risk profile on you because of the massive computing power available today are absolutely part of our future. Ken is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Ken.
Hello. How are you, Clark?
Great, thank you. You want to help out your fellow listener.
Well, it may be of help. I've looked on your website, and you talk about doing a daily check of your credit cards to look for fraudulent activity. I think I've got a better way to prevent fraud, and it's already saved me some a problem and an erroneous charge. I've signed up for text alerts for any charge that goes on my account. I receive it on the phone, and I'm able to stop any funny business right dead in the tracks.
Now, you want me to be upset with my wife about all her transactions?
Or could be, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She's going to get even with me for that. But anyway, it is a great idea. And most issuers now offer the text messaging alerts, and you can set parameters when your text, when you receive a text. And that is a wonderful idea and superior to what I've said about checking your statements or checking online each day or every other day or whatever. Because if you get those text message alerts, you're going to know right away.
It may also help for those people that have secondary users on their credit card, like a college student, and mom or dad wants to keep up with what they're spending. It may work out nicely for them, too.
So what I was able to do for my 18-year-old is she has a card where I was able to give her, it's on my account, and I was able to establish what her limit would be, that it's not a very high limit. So she can never do too much damage to me.
Very good.
Yeah. But I love your suggestion, and it's a great idea.
Very good. Hope it can help somebody.
Thank you. You just did. Pete is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Pete. You have had an unfortunate cycle of home ownership you want to run by me.
Exactly. So, Clark, I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and our city, I mean, our houses don't really appreciate much. We have a lot of land, so we have a lot of new homes being built every year. And so I've had this house I live in for the last 12 years, and it's appreciated probably about $20,000. And
What did you originally pay for it?
$275,000.
So you have less than 10% appreciation to show over 12 years.
Exactly. And I think one of the reasons is we have so much land to build new additions. I mean, there's just constant growth of new homes in the area, and I think that keeps our house prices down. I think that's one of the reasons. Plus, you know, there's a little bit of economy and things like that. But I live in a great neighborhood, great school district, and yet from looking at the comps around us, there's not much appreciation. So,
all right. So let me tell you something positive, though. Okay.
Okay.
How many square feet is your house?
3,100.
So I was talking with a friend who is probably going to buy an apartment in New York City. And they were looking at one that is 575 square feet. And the cost of it was $599,000 for an old, not very fancy apartment. You know, the advantage that you have in Tulsa is that even though your house is not printing money for you, obviously if it's gone up just a tiny amount over 12 years, is that you have a huge amount of square footage for the money. You're paying down a mortgage every year. I mean, 12 years in, hopefully you're seeing some headroom and equity just from what you're paying down on it. And your cost of living in that house is so relatively small. So it's not always about the value of the home increasing. And I've seen what you're talking about. You know, when I come to Tulsa and I'll drive vast expanses where you just go on and on and on, and it's pretty thinly populated in terms of, you know, how spread out people are. And there's land every direction. So I know what you mean, that it makes it harder for you to have an increase.
Well, so, Clark, I was going to ask you, we're looking to move again. And my question is, in a market like ours, is it better for me to lease a home, a new home that we're moving into, or do we just... Are you a big believer that purchasing and paying down and building equity is still the best way to do
it? Well,
it's
a method of forced savings, but it also freezes your housing cost. Let's think back. If you rented a place, you know, a house 12 years ago in your neighborhood, the rents almost certainly have escalated over those 12 years.
True.
So you're locking in your basic housing cost by owning. Also, do you plan to stay in Tulsa forever?
I plan on being here for a while, yes.
So I think ownership is the right thing. Interest rates are very favorable, and there's a certain stability that comes with owning a home.
Okay, that's great. And Clark, I had the opportunity to meet you when the new Costco opened in Tulsa. My son was with me at the time, and really enjoy all the tips you give us. And I think ownership, ultimately owning a home, is probably the best thing that anyone can do. We just wanted to make sure that in a market like ours, is there anything different that you would recommend?
No, I would say even more, it makes so much sense for you to own a home just because you're in a position where you don't have to worry about negotiating rent every year or having to move again or whatever, that you've had this stability for 12 years. And there's a real value to that as well. And remember, at Costco, anything that ends in 97 cents, that's the real bargain. George is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, George.
Good afternoon. How are you, Clark?
Great, thank you. George, I got to tell you something. A bug just fell from the ceiling, and producer Joel jumped back like 3 feet, and now you can't find it, right, Joel?
Oh, I see him, but I'm planning my move.
Oh, well, do you want to talk to George and I'll kill the bug?
No, I don't mind killing
okay.
it.
All right. So, George, you want to talk about your car, your used car. What's going on?
Well, what I'm doing, I'm getting ready to buy a used car that has some warranty left in it from the factory. Now, whenever you go to a dealership and buy a car, they start pushing an extended policy.
Are extended policies worth the money, and should I buy at the dealership or should I go online?
So as a general rule, they're not. The math on them is no better than any other vehicle extended warranty or service contract, but there's a reason that I'm neutral on them on cars, and that is that most car buyers don't have the kind of resources that if the engine blew or the transmission died, they can't afford to repair and replace either of those items. And so the real question is, what are your own finances like? Could you afford, if suddenly you own this thing for a while after the manufacturer warranty ends and you end up with a $3,000 repair on it, can you handle that repair?
Yes.
If you have the resources to handle it, then you do not want to insure something you can afford to handle.
Okay, that sounds good. But yeah, I've never bought one of those policies. I just have been just, you know, dog lucky all my life. Nothing's ever happened like that. But
and cars, you know, are much more reliable than they used to be. And if you don't have a need to have that as a backstop if something went wrong, you are positively someone who should not buy one.
Very well.
And even if you were the right person, George, you would only want to buy one that is from the manufacturer itself.
Okay.
So, you know, when the manufacturer's existing warranty ends, the manufacturer's own extended warranty is what begins. Dave is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Thank you. So you're getting emails from Publishers Clearinghouse, huh?
Correct.
How much money have you won?
$850,000.
$850,000 by email, huh?
Yes.
And what do they want you to do?
They want me to pay a certain amount of money. They had three choices of whether 24 hours, 48 hours, or 72 hours to receive the money.
Scam, 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 not from Publishers Clearinghouse.
Well, see, I did enter the contest nearly 3 years ago, but about a year ago, I opted out. I unsubscribed because I was getting several emails during the week, and I figured when I did that, I was out of the contest, but Yahoo has changed before this. The emails came in my spam on the 11th and 12th. It looked graphically different, but similar to ones that I'd been getting all along, so I thought it was legit.
Right. So the thing is,
I've already talked to my brother and both my brothers. One's a retired attorney, and they both said the same thing you did.
Yeah. So the thing is, Publishers Clearinghouse and the FTC have both put out warnings that any email that you're receiving, anything like that, is absolutely bogus for any large prize. Only a very small prize might they ever send by a method like that. You know what they do? You see it on the Super Bowl. You see them show up at somebody's house and give them $1 million or whatever. I mean, they're not going to send you an email saying you've won that money, but tell you you have to pay to receive any of it. Anytime you're told you're going to have to pay to receive any of it, that's when you know that it's absolutely not true.
Well, they said it would be shipping charges. I think
they're lying.
Maybe 20, 30, or 40 bucks coming from...
It's a lie.
Ostensibly from the UK.
Yeah, completely a lie. Follow your brother's lead on this. Know that they're crooks, and just do not engage in any conversation with anybody there because they are trying to cheat you.
Thanks, Clark.
Okay, I'm sorry to have to tell you that. Joel, do we have time for a quick ask, Clark?
We sure do, Clark. Helder wrote in and said, what would be the best site to get my credit report and score without signing an annual agreement?
Okay, so I don't want you ever signing any of those annual agreements. From Discover, you can see your score for free. You don't have to be a Discover customer or anything like that. They have a special website, creditscorecard.com. Again, that's creditscorecard.com. But my favorite, where you get to see your report, your score, all kinds of other things for free, Credit Karma, CarGurus.com, and it is a wonderful resource for you. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. I appreciate you tuning in to the Clark Howard Show. And if you'd like more fun stuff to listen to by podcast, well, we have our Empowerment Zone. This is where you get to hear the stories of people that have done amazing things, either in overcoming hardship in their lives or things they've done to accomplish. Go to clark.com/empowermentzone.